I'd open your Bibles tonight, please, once again to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to read just one verse tonight. And hope you have your Bible with you tonight. We're going to be looking at several verses of Scripture in the message this evening. And rather than preach a sermon tonight, I'm basically going to just give you a little Bible study and show you some things about the heart that are revealed in the Scripture. You'll notice here in this third verse where Peter is speaking to Ananias, and he says to him, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Why has Satan filled thine heart? And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of taking a look at the heart. You know, when he says here the heart, he's not talking about the thing that beats in your chest, that pumps your blood through your body. The heart is in the Bible it's the center of your being. It's the center of your personality. The heart we talk about the heart being the center. Well, it's the center of who you are. And I want to speak to you tonight on the heart, and let's take a look at the heart tonight. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the message. And Lord, thank you for the music we've heard tonight. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies that we've heard tonight. Thankful, Lord, for folks being saved and Lord, for you using our church to play a part in that. Lord, thank you for these young people who went yesterday and gave their entire day to witnessing and telling folks how to get to heaven. And Lord, I pray that you will bless them richly for being a witness, that Lord, you'll put your hand upon them and continue to use them. And Lord, we pray now that you will bless as we look at the subject of the heart tonight. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you teach us in the Word. And Father, I pray that you will just bless us richly tonight. May we glean things tonight that will make a difference and help us in our walk and help us in our service for Thee. And Lord, I pray that You'll just cleanse my heart tonight and use me and help me tonight to preach. That, Lord, I will say what I need to say and that You'll bless it. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank You and praise You for what You do for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just can't get away from Ananias and Sapphira. So we're going to look at this story again tonight, but I want to share some things with you about the heart. You'll notice in the third verse it says that Peter looked at Ananias and asked him, "Why has Satan filled thine heart?" And we looked this morning and saw that there were two unseen entities that are at work. We readily acknowledge the fact that God works in our hearts. We're thankful for that. We heard testimony of that tonight, how God used our people to win 110 folks to Christ yesterday. Well, we're thankful that God still works. We're thankful that we can see the effects of God in our lives even in 2008. And then we also learned this morning that there is another unseen power that is always at work. He was busy right after creation, and he came after God's creation. He came after Adam and Eve. He deceived them. He lied to them. They fell for his lie, and they disobeyed and plunged the human race into sin. And then we also saw this morning how that God's new creation, the church, here comes the devil, sticks his nose in the church and gets Ananias and Sapphira, gets in their hearts and gets them to lie and to try and deceive the Holy Spirit and the church. And then God stepped in again, and we just keep getting reminded in this book of God stepping into the picture and acting and showing that He is indeed God. And so So we have this amazing little story here that is just packed with things that we need to consider. And one of the things we need to consider is that little statement, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You see, folks, there is something that the devil is fully aware of, and that is that he can get into our hearts. He can lead us. He can put things in our hearts. And when he does that, he does it for a reason. You got to realize the devil hates God with a passion. The devil tried to be God. He tried to dethrone God in heaven, and that's the reason that he was kicked out of heaven and cast to the earth. And his heart is wicked. It's evil. He is totally opposed to God, hates God with every fiber of his being. And since we are God's creation, his hatred is directed to us. And so he's going to do everything he can to hinder the work of Christ, the work of God. He's going to do everything he can to stop it. And right here in this passage of Scripture, he filled Ananias and Sapphira's heart and got them to commit this awful sin against God and against the church. So from this passage, I want to show you what I think is the real failure of man. You see, our problem is a heart problem. Men all over this world have a heart problem. We have a heart condition. And I want to speak to you tonight on the heart and trust that you'll consider a few vital truths that I want to call to your attention. This passage of Scripture gives us a true assessment of the human heart. This passage of Scripture gives us a true assessment of the human heart. I want you to notice what Peter said to Ananias. He said to him, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? He didn't say, why has Satan filled your mind? He said, why has Satan filled your heart? And he said basically the same thing to Sapphira when she came in a few verses later. But the question is, why has Satan filled thine heart? And Peter exposes before the whole church, he exposes before all what was in Ananias' heart. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago when we first looked at this passage of Scripture, I reminded you and showed you that there was not one soul, not one person in the church who had a gun to anybody's head and was making them sell their possessions and give the money to the congregation. There was nothing like that going on at all. Anybody who did this, they did it of their own volition. They did it because of their desire to see the gospel spread. And so what Ananias did, he did of his own volition as well. But notice the argument that Peter gives. We read it in verse 4 the last week, but the argument was very simple, and he's trying to point out and show Ananias that what's happening here with him is he's got a heart problem. He has done this in his heart. And he says in verse 4, while it remained in your possession, it was yours. You didn't have to do what you did. You did not have to sell it. You did not have to, after you even received the money, you did not have to give it. It was not mandated of you to do this. You didn't have to give a dime. You could have sold the land and kept every penny, every dime, if that's what you wanted to do. You could have kept it all, Ananias, but you deliberately sought to deceive, and why did you do it? And that's basically what Peter's point is to him, and it is intended to get him to realize that it was his heart that led him to do what he did. Why hast thou conceived this thing? I mean, notice, folks, he did not ask him if he conceived this thing in his mind. The point was he had conceived this thing in his heart. And so here the man's problem exposed. He has a heart problem. And folks, I think that that is one of our society today's biggest problem, is that we have not stopped to realize that all of us have a heart condition. I mean, I think that, you know, today people are saying drug abuse is and alcoholism are diseases. They're not diseases. That's not a disease. My goodness, a disease is where some germ gets in your body or some virus gets in your body where you get sick. Alcoholism is not a disease. You are deliberately, of your own volition, pouring that stuff down your throat, and just like all sin, it gets its hooks in you, and then you can't turn it loose once it gets its hooks in you. But it's not a disease. My goodness, what's wrong with us? But that's the way we are. We are excusing everything that comes along, and the reason we do it is because we're not willing to admit the truth about ourselves, that man's heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? We don't want to realize that we have a problem, and that problem is a spiritual problem. It is a heart problem, and it affects all men and women. Now, folks, again, I emphasize our problem is not intellectual. Our problems stem from something that is far deeper than the intellect. They do not stem from a lack of knowledge or from a lack of information. The difficulty is much deeper. There are elements in human nature that are deeper and stronger and more profound than the mind. And folks, when you think about it, look at the heart of man and look at man's heart condition in the light of the whole Bible, you start to realize just how vital it is that we understand where our problems come from. They come from the heart. They come from a depraved heart. And when you think about it, this is really the great message of the Bible. I mean, we are told in the Scripture that the devil, Satan, who is mentioned here, caused his original fall when he lifted his heart up against God, when he wanted to be God. And he said in his heart, "I will exalt the throne of God." It was a heart condition that the devil had. You know, Satan was not just thinking. No, he had a desire in his heart that led to his downfall. He wanted to be equal with God. And I am saying that it is the heart condition that is always emphasized in the Scripture as God deals with men and women and this sin factor. Now, let me show you just a couple of examples of this. I want you to go back to Psalm 51 for just a minute. Go back to Psalm 51, and let's talk for a minute about David. Now, here is one of the most well-known of Bible characters. Here is a guy that has given us some of the sweetest literature that is on the planet, the Psalms. And here is a man after God's own heart, the Bible says of him. Here is a man who loved God, and God blessed him. I mean, the list just goes on and on concerning David. But the Bible is very honest, and it tells us the truth about David. It tells us that King David was guilty of committing adultery and then guilty of committing murder. Now, did you hear what I said? Here is David, and he committed adultery and committed murder. Now, I got a question for you. Why did he do that? Was it a lack of knowledge on his part? No, sir. No, sir. He committed adultery and committed murder, and it had nothing to do with knowledge. What was it that he had just not been sufficiently instructed in the art of how to get along with others? No, my friend. I know what it was. He didn't have sensibility training in school. That's what his problem was. No, my friend. Was it that he needed to be rehabilitated? Maybe he needed therapy or counseling or something. Maybe his doctor should have sent him to see a psychiatrist and gone in for some therapy. No. His problem, dear friend, was the same problem that you and I have. It's a heart problem. Now, you say, well, I'm not so sure I follow that, all right? I thought you'd question me, so look, please, at verse 51. You see, David, Psalm 51, verse 1. David ultimately figured out what his problem was. He ultimately figured it out. And so here he is in Psalm 51, and he's praying. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean what? David knew that what led him to sin and to commit adultery and to commit murder, he knew that his problem was a heart problem. It was not his mind. Now, folks, think about it. A man like David, a man of great wisdom and insight, a man who had received messages from God and knew what it was to be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write these wonderful Psalms, a man with a knowledge of God's law and God's truth, could commit adultery and murder. How in the world could he do that? He could do that because he did not guard his heart. His heart caused his problems. Why? Was the trouble only in his mind? No, God knows it was not. And David came to figure out that it was not. It was not the mind. It was the spirit. It was the heart. This deeper part of human nature that causes our problems. And folks, that's what is forgotten today. That's what is forgotten today. You don't hear anything about the heart anymore. You don't hear. Used to be you would hear parents talking to their kids about guarding their heart, making sure their hearts were right. You've got a wrong heart, young man. You got a wrong heart, young lady. You don't hear that anymore. You don't hear that. We are excusing our sin today instead of being like David and recognizing sin and praying to God to get forgiveness of sin. Let me also say the Lord Jesus also explains to us that man has a heart problem. Go over to Matthew chapter 15. Let me show you what Jesus said about this. Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees and the scribes and even the disciples did not understand the importance of the heart, so he explained it to them. Look, if you will, at verse 17. Well, let's go back and get 16. It says, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. It's what's in your heart that causes the sin. It's what's in the heart that brings out the sin, that evidences itself in our actions and our thoughts and our words. And so he said, in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Oh, folks, listen. I mean, here Jesus said it's not the things that go into the mouth that defile a man. It's the things that proceed from the heart, that come out of the mouth, that proceed from the heart that defile a man. And he went on to explain that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnessing and blasphemies. All these things defile the heart. You've heard me say before, and I've said it many times, it needs to be said often, I suppose, but you hear people say, old so-and-so fell into sin. No. Nobody falls into sin. You go into sin one step at a time. And it starts way back before you ever get into sin with a thought in your heart, and your heart is what is the devil attacks and leads you step by step until he's got you where he wants you. All right? So the heart is the problem. Now, let me say something else here tonight. That is, the heart is the center of your personality. It is the center of who you are. The heart is the real you. I think that is perhaps the best way to explain the heart, to just simply say it is the center of your personality. The heart includes the feelings and the emotions, but also something even deeper than that. Now listen very carefully. There is a center to every one of us. There is a center, a great center to every one of us, out of which everything comes. There is a great center in us that controls everything about us, and this center is also where our trouble comes from. The problem with us is not intellectual. I say it again. I'm so tired of hearing, that we need to teach. We need to teach. No, folks, we need the heart fixed. There's only one that can fix the heart. All right? There's only one that can fix the heart. Listen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but our problems are not intellectual. They're deeper than our minds. Something that will make us contradict our knowledge and trample upon it and violate it so that we go ahead and do wrong, even though we know it's wrong, is within us. It's called the heart. Now, you can be taught until you have every degree known to man, but you still got an evil heart within you. And our problems are not educational. Our problems are spiritual. I'm saying the problem is the heart. Out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. Now, folks, I can't tell you the number of people over the last 32 years who have come into my office and they've sat down in front of me and they said, "Pastor, I knew better, but I did it anyway." We're not talking about the mind here. We're talking about the heart here. And that makes people uncomfortable, doesn't it? You know, we don't mind talking about the mind, but we don't like to hear talk about the heart. Because the simple truth of is all of us know that within each and every one of us is a wicked, evil heart that if we don't keep in check is going to ruin and destroy us. We know that. We know that. And so out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. Take your Bible. You're already in Matthew. Just go a few books over to the Gospel of John, to the third chapter. Let me show you another great, great thought. We all know verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, Why? Well, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Wow, what a statement that is. You see, here's the trouble with our old wicked hearts. Our wicked hearts love the darkness. We love darkness. It's not that people are unaware of light. We have been given light. We've all been given light. The truth is, we have more light in our society today than any people have ever had in any generation, and yet there is more violence and more wickedness and more debauchery and more evil than there ever has been. You say, well, Pastor, how do you explain that? I explain that because the problem is in the heart of men. Folks, if we don't work on the heart, if we don't get a person to realize that he's a sinner and that he's in need of a Savior, listen, God sent his Son into the world so that the world could be saved. And the only way that a person's going to be saved is to realize that his heart needs to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way a person can be saved is to come to Jesus. And yet, here's this devil out here. We saw it in the fifth chapter. Here's this devil out here that is always filling people's hearts with false information and false teaching and temptation, and doing everything he can to deceive them so that they won't come to the truth. Man, we need to understand this. Folks, I'm telling you, I just think that we've missed the boat on this matter of the heart. And we think, boy, you know, if I could just teach my kids. Folks, listen, I'm all for filling the mind with good stuff. I'm all for it. But I'm telling you, you better get their hearts. You'd better get their hearts. Go over to James. Chapter 4. Verse 1. James asks a very important question here. I mean, in this enlightened age in which we live, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now here's James, and he asked this question and wanted to know, well, where's this lust come from that's in my heart? Where does this anger that's in my heart, where does it come from? Where is this desire to get even, to retaliate, to hurt somebody? Where does that come from? Where does that stem? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from that old evil heart that's within you. And I'm telling you, folks, listen to me now. Our jails today are filled with people who couldn't control their hearts. All right? They couldn't control their hearts. You say, well, Pastor, I've had some pretty bad thoughts in my time. When I was a young man, I had some pretty bad thoughts. Yeah, and the truth is, you probably acted on some of your bad thoughts. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I worry that I could go back to thinking that way. That's why you get saved. You give the Lord your heart, and then you get in the Bible, and you let the Bible guide and control your heart. Now, folks, listen, I'm saying the heart. We're not just intellectual beings. However much we may know, there is something besides our intellect that governs what we like, what we do, what we want, and what we are. And it is not just the educated or the uneducated. It is not just the poor. It is not just the underprivileged. It's not just the illiterate that are guilty of adultery and drunkenness and drug abuse and who get divorced. It's not just the lower educational level people in the world that are guilty of these sins. No, my friend, these sins are common throughout. Because it's not a mind thing, it's a heart thing that causes the problems. And folks, this is the battle that you and I must fight on a daily basis. Our hearts. We've got to guide our hearts. Hey, mom and dad, you better guard your hearts. You better guard your hearts. You better watch what you watch on TV. You better guard your heart. You better watch it. You better be careful what you bring into your home and your children watch. Better be careful. You say, well, I can handle it. Yeah, but they might not be able to handle it. And you may start a fire burning in their bones that they can't put out. You better be careful. I'm telling you, better guard your heart. You don't want to make a wreck or a ruin out of your life and what you built. I mean, you got to guard your heart. Hey, you better guard the heart of your children, parents. Teach them how to guard their hearts so that as they grow and mature, they make the right decisions and they don't do something foolish that comes from listening to the deceitful wickedness that lies within their heart. And they have one. You say, well, Pastor, if you knew my Aunt Susie, you wouldn't say that she has a wicked heart. Let me tell you something. Thank God your Aunt Susie has some biblical sense about her that keeps her heart in line. Thank God for that. But I want you to know her heart's just as desperately wicked as yours is. We've all got that kind of heart. And my dear friend, you've got to guard. You say, well, my children are just small. They're just babies. Yep, that's where you start guarding the heart. Right there's where you start. You can't wait till they're 14 years old. And when you start seeing that heart revealing what is in it and that rebellion and that attitude, and all, you can't wait till they're 14 and then say, oh, well, I'm going to work on your heart now. No, start on them when they're little. You can tell what's in their hearts. Just open your eyes. You can see what's in their hearts. You ever notice you don't have to teach them to lie? You don't have to teach them to lie. In Carroll Christian schools, when they get to kindergarten, Mrs. DeWitt does not sit down and say, okay, I'm going to teach you all how to lie. No, they know how to do it. Why? Because it's in their hearts to do it. You don't have to teach them to be sneaky. You don't have to teach them to be deceitful. Hey, mom, dad, listen to me. You don't have to teach them to be sensual. You don't have to teach them that. You don't have to teach them to be sexual. It's in their heart. What you've got to do is teach them to be moral, to be honest, to be faithful. That's what you need to work on. And you do that by teaching them the right thing. You teach them to do right, to be godly, to be spiritual, to be sincere. I'm saying it's the heart, parent. It's the heart, mom. It's the heart, dad. Work on the heart. Take the time to deal with the heart, for there is where your problems lie. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Turn back to Psalm 119 and I'll show you. Psalm 119. Look at the ninth verse of Psalm 119. I'm going to wait till everybody's got it because I want all of you to get it. All right, look here. Wherewithal. That means how. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you cleanse your way? How do you keep a clear path? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And here it is. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. David said, look at verse 10, with my whole what? Heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, plopping them down in front of MTV, no, you're sowing the wrong thing in their heart. Plopping them down in front of HBO and Showtime and all the rest of them, you're putting the wrong thing in their heart. Plopping them down in front of prime time filth and garbage where the sexual innuendos are flying every 20, 30 seconds, that's not putting the right thing in their hearts. And then they get 14, 15 years old, and that heart starts to unfold and unveil itself. And we sit here and wonder, well, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Why don't you start asking, what am I going to do right? And get the Word of God in their hearts. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We push this Reformers program. There's a reason we do. We push it because it works. It works. And when you get into the Reformers program, you see, people come to Reformers for various and sundry things, but it all stems, it all boils back to something went wrong in the heart. Right? Would you agree with that, Doug? It just something went wrong in the heart. And so now here they are, slaves to a wicked heart. They're servants to a wicked heart. You know, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And then when that season's over, the sinner says, okay, I've had my thrill, I've had my fun, now I'm going to turn it loose, now I'm going to quit. And then they can't. They can't. Because sin's got a hold of them. And so, what do? Well, some of them end up in jail. Some of them end up in jail because sin always leads you further down the road than you want to go. And they do something foolish and end up in jail. Some end up dead. Oh, yeah. The wages of sin is what? Yeah, and some of them it gets prematurely. And then there's some who by the grace of God, find out that there is a God. And that God has a son who died on the cross for them. And that if they will trust that son for their salvation, God will save their soul and he'll give them a new heart. Now that doesn't mean that their addiction is over. That doesn't mean that they're not that all their problems are over. No, not at all. And so that's why we have this program we call the Reformers Program. And these people come. And they sit down in that Reformers program, and here's what Reformers does. It takes this blessed old book right here, Amen. And it hides this book in their hearts. It teaches them principles. It gives them things to govern their hearts. And folks, listen, what I'm trying to get you to see here tonight, here's old Ananias, and Peter looked at him and said, Buster, why did you let the devil fill your heart to do this sin? Why did you do that? I'm saying that you can control your heart. You can. And you can by reading the Word of God and hiding the Word of God in your heart. And man, I'm telling you folks, that's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to have your kids in church. I don't understand this thinking, well, you know, Pastor, gas prices are $5 a gallon. We can't come on Sunday night anymore. I don't understand that. I mean, I really don't. Hey, your kids need to hear what I just preached tonight. I don't understand that theology. Doesn't make sense to me. So what are they doing tonight? Sitting in front of a television set. That's what they're doing. Because gas is $5 a gallon. God help us. And then we wonder, well, you know, Pastor, I just can't seem to get through to them anymore. Pastor, can you help me? Hey, listen, we'll do all we can. All right? We'll do all we can. Now, one of these days, I'm going to snap and I'm going to grab somebody and shake them real good, but we'll do all we can. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it. I know I will. I'll snap one of these days. Pastor, can you do some counseling? I don't know what we're going to do with her. I don't know what we're going to do with him. Oh boy, if you'd have started years ago on that little precious heart and sowed the Word of God in that heart, I think it would have made a difference. I really do. Let me make one more statement and I'll close. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. You are what you have been becoming. You got that? You are, right here tonight, what you have been becoming. What you have been sowing in your heart, that's what you are right now tonight. And folks, I'm not trying to be unkind, but look around. There are folks that were with us last year that aren't with us this year. And the devil filled their hearts. They're not anywhere. They're not in church. They're not living for God. They're not winning souls. They're not praying. They're not reading their Bibles. And it's all because they didn't guard their hearts. And I'm begging you tonight, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? Why? In other words, you can control that. You can stop him from filling your heart. And you do that by using the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God will stop that heart from sinning and disobeying God. It'll stop it. But you got to put the Word of God in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will bless what's been said. And Lord, give us understanding of this little truth that we have heard this evening. And Lord, in this old evil, wicked world in which we live, men refuse to look at the real problem. And the real problem is a heart problem. And Lord, we hear the liberals say we just need to educate people. We just need to educate people. We can fix all the problems of the world if we just educate people. Lord, it's a deeper problem than education. For it's a heart problem. And the heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? Lord, you know it. And I pray that we will realize, Lord, how important it is that we keep our hearts right. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And Lord, may we purpose that we're going to keep our hearts where they ought to be. God, give us some victory tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray, moms and dads, Lord, give victory to moms and dads tonight. Father, give victory to some teenager who is rebelling and fighting against his parents and against the church and against any authority. Lord, I pray that you'll just get a hold of some teenager's heart tonight. Lord, may the teenager tonight realize that they just need to keep their hearts in a right relationship with you. Lord, may we get in the book. May we read it. May we learn it. May we love it. Meditate upon it and hide its truths in our hearts. Lord, bless now and touch our lives, we pray. Father, we need a real revival of Christians guarding their hearts. Lord, help us tonight to see that. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed and no one looking around. Folks, would you let God's Word touch your heart tonight? I wonder how many will say, Pastor, man, I need to get in the book. I need to get in the Bible and hide the Word of God in my heart. I don't want the devil taking my heart and filling it with his lies and his deceit. I don't want the devil getting in there and ruining my heart. Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart tonight. Would you slip your hand up and let's pray about that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you, folks. Oh, young people, I hope you mean this. Raise that hand and hold it up there so So I'll pray for you, oh my, and I will pray for you. You pray for me. I want to keep my heart where God can use me. Let's just make it a heart guard tonight, all right? You pray for me, I pray for you. And let's work on these hearts of ours. And let's keep them where they ought to be. Father, you know our needs tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll bless all these folks that had their hand up just a minute ago. And Lord, help us to purpose that we're going to guard our hearts. Lord, I pray for these young people, these teenagers that raise their hands tonight. Lord, it's that thrills my soul as I realize they listened to their pastor tonight. And Lord, I pray now that you'll deal with their hearts. And Lord, just put a hedge around their hearts and keep the old devil out. Lord, I have high hopes for some of our young people here tonight that I saw their hand in the air. And Lord, I know that you can use them, but Lord, that'll never happen if they don't guard their hearts. So Lord, bless. I pray for these moms and dads. And Lord, just ask you to fill our hearts with joy and gladness and purpose that we're going to live for Christ. Oh Lord, bless us now, we pray, as we have our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.